I thank you again for joining us. We have been at this for several weeks, and what a blessing. What a blessing. I'm so thankful to the Lord for His grace and just the so many things that He's opened our eyes to over the last couple of months or so. This will be our second to the last Wednesday teaching service. So we have just two left. That's tonight and next week, Wednesday, by the grace of God. So I thank you again for joining us all of these past weeks. I hope that you have been blessed, and I hope that you are put into work and you are put into use some of the things that you have been receiving. Invite someone to join us next week. Next Wednesday is going to be the very last one for the year. We're going to shut down after next Wednesday for the year and just begin to prepare ourselves for all that the Lord has for us in the new year 2020. I hope you're as excited as I am about that new year as well. But tonight, I want us to press forward real quickly. I have a few things that I need to share with us, and especially I'm going to press forward into the subtopic that I have called Actions of Increase. So the general overall topic that we have been studying under has been titled Supernatural Increase. We've learned quite a number of things under this. Last week and the week before, we actually were talking about instructions for increase. And I'm going to do a very little, very, very brief review of that. And then I'm going to jump right into actions of increase. Actions of increase. And by God's special grace, we'll wrap up next week, Wednesday, wrap up everything with our last subtopic, which will be determination for increase. All right. So last week and the week before, we took some time to learn about instructions for increase. We did learn a few things, but where we closed our last week, I said there were ways to position ourselves for supernatural increase. And I gave us seven things that we needed to pay attention to as believers and as people that seek to increase. The first one is to put God's word first place in your life. So if you want to increase, if you want supernatural increase, put God's word first place in your life. Number two, be a covenant keeper. God is a covenant keeping God. So if you want to increase supernaturally, be a covenant keeper. Number three, walk in obedience. Bible says if they serve and obey Him, they'll live their lives in plenty and their days in prosperity, Job 36:11. So walk in obedience. When the Lord speaks to you, do it quickly and quietly. Do it quickly and quietly. So don't complain about it and don't procrastinate. Walk in obedience if you want to be increased supernaturally. Number four, we talked about hard work and diligence. God believes in hard work. We can't just sit at home and pray in tongues all day and expect that we're going to increase. It's not going to happen. I don't care how many thousand times you quote the scriptures that says the Lord will prosper whatever you do. Well, at the end of the day, you still have to go and do something. And if you don't do something, then you are not going to reap the blessings of supernatural increase. So actually, some of what we'll talk about tonight under actions of increase have a lot to do. It's very connected with what we shared last week about diligence and hard work. All right, number five, we said if you want to increase supernaturally, be faithful where you are. Be faithful where you are. Some people have this habit, keep talking about where they want to go, what they want to do, what they want to become, but they're not really faithful where they are. They don't have the spirit of excellence. They are not paying attention to details. They are not completing their tasks. They constantly make excuses. They don't keep their word. They are not on time. They are sloppy and shoddy. And here they come, constantly talking about what will happen when the Lord increases them. But increase actually comes through faithfulness. So being faithful where you are, constantly and habitually giving your best to what the Lord has assigned you currently is a prerequisite to supernatural increase. Walking in integrity is a prerequisite for supernatural increase. That's number five. Number six, we talked about giving to God, honoring God with your gifts, honoring God, giving to Him, and being generous with Him and with people. The Bible says that if you are generous, that you become established through your generosity. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, God will cause men to give into your bosom." It says in Proverbs 1, I think that's 9 and 10, if you honor the Lord with your substance, the first fruits of your increase, then the Lord will cause your barns to overflow. Amen. So one of the ways we position ourselves for supernatural increase is to be givers to the Lord, givers to other people. I really love Isaiah 32 verse 8. It says, "The generous devises generous things, and by their generosity they are established." I really love that. The generous always devise generous things. That is, they are constantly looking for ways to express generosity. And the Bible says it is through their generosity that they become established in the dreams that the Lord has given to them. So that's powerful. If you want to increase supernaturally, you must be committed to becoming a generous Christian, generous with God, generous with people. Hallelujah. And then number seven, finally, we talked about increase by association. That's divine connections and partnerships, the people that God brings us into association with, people that we help, like either partnering with people who are already doing the work of the kingdom of God, or partnering with other people to move their own vision forward, a lot of times puts us in position for supernatural increase. Amen. It is very important, one last thing I'm going to say before moving away from here, it's very important that we keep our priorities straight. Make sure you're not giving time that belongs to God to something else or to somebody else. I don't care really how much the promise is. I don't care what the attraction. I don't care what bonuses or what projected increases have been dangled before us. Make sure you constantly give God's time to God. So don't times that you should be serving the Lord, times that you should be in Bible study, times that you should be serving in the house of God, you should be in fellowship, hearing the word of God. Don't give that to doing overtime unless you absolutely have no choice. There are some professions where people are required to do that. It's not just because they want to make more money. They are actually required to do that. We all know that. So if you are in such a situation, great. But if your situation is just, well, this thing is dangled before you, you can do this and make more money, and that's the 1 hour where you really should be in Bible study. Let me tell you, one word from God can change your life completely. You can hear one word from God that can totally transform your life and save you from a lifetime experience of toiling in your own strength. But where are you going to hear that one word from God? You know, it's when you prioritize the word of God and you take your place and you sit, you get your Bible, you take notes, you go study that word, you give God's time to God, you prioritize the things of the kingdom of God, and then the Bible says all these other things shall be added unto you. All right, glory to God. That is all the recapping I'm going to do from instructions for increase. I want us to move real quickly and begin to talk now about actions of increase. Actions of increase. I want you to go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you will please open your Bibles. If you are there online with us tonight, open your Bibles with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. If you are alive and well, say praise God, I'm alive and well. Amen. If you are, you know you are being blessed and you know you are being positioned for supernatural increase, say in the name of Jesus, I am being positioned for supernatural increase. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 3, actions of increase, actions of increase. So having a vision for increase is not enough. We already established we need to have instructions. We have to have directions. We have to have guidance. We have to have words that direct us, and we've already learned some of the ways in which God actually put ideas in our heart, some of the ways through which we receive instructions for increase. Many of those ways are not really particularly spiritual. They don't sound spiritual because some of them are just very strong ideas, great ideas we have within us, thought in our imagination, pictures we see, images that we see, and sometimes maybe just pure instinct, just pure instinct. And some of those things may not seem particularly spiritual, but that's how God instructs us to take steps for increase. Amen. But having instructions for increase is not, that's not good enough. In responding to those instructions, we must take action. So there are actions of increase. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3 in the Amplified says, "For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words." The King James says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." Look at that scripture. A dream comes with a multitude or abundance or much business. And so the Bible is telling us here two requirements for a dream of increase to be fulfilled are, number one, a multitude of business. A multitude of business, or much business, or abundance of business, or more than one. And the second thing he says is painful effort. Painful effort. I really the Jubilee translation of this scripture, especially because of how it relates to this multitude of business and painful effort. In the Jubilee translation of this scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 3 says, "For out of much preoccupation, for out of much preoccupation comes the dream, and the voice of the fool out of a multitude of words." So really, some people who think they are going to experience supernatural increase and basically just talk a lot about it, the Bible calls them fools, and it says they are never really going to experience supernatural increase. But it says the dream for increase will come out of much preoccupation. I also really like the way the CSB, the CSB, I believe, is the, that is the Christian Standard Bible Version, the CSB, Christian Standard Bible Version. It says, "Just as dreams accompany much labor, so also a fool's voice comes with many words." Just as dreams accompany much labor, so also a fool's voice comes with many words. There's one thing the Bible is trying to make very clear to us. Number one, dreams come to pass through much business. Not one, but much business, much preoccupation. And the second thing the Bible is making clear to us from this scripture, dreams of increase will come to pass through painful effort, not many words. Painful effort, not many words. Let's look at the first one, much business. The word business is the Hebrew word inyam, inyam, and it means occupation, it means task, job, accomplishment, investment, employment, travail, burden, exchange, transaction. I love the word transaction because the word transaction is two words, trans and action. So dreams of increase will not come to pass unless there is much transaction. Transaction. What are we learning tonight? Actions of increase. So unless there are exchanges, unless there is an investment of labor, ideas, resources, and a reaping of profit and fruits and resources, the Bible says there will not be a realization of dreams of increase. That word business, the Hebrew word inyam, which means all of these different words that I've given you, also suggests to us that word, the word that precedes it. Notice it says through multitude of business, or much business, or some translations say an abundance of business. So notice, we're not just talking about buying and selling. So the word business, that word inyam in the Hebrew, doesn't just mean buying and selling. Because many times when we hear the word business, we immediately think, oh, that's buying and selling. That means I must be buying clothes or buying, selling shoes in order for me to have supernatural increase, or I must be selling some. Not necessarily. But what the Bible is saying is there must be multitudes of tasks, multitude of occupations, multitude of assignments or accomplishments, investment, employment, whether it's self or through some other person or through an organization. Then travail, that's a lot of hard work and labor, burden, the burden of work. God is not against toil. God is not against working. Toil is a negative connotation. If our toil is the only thing that brings resources and income into our lives, then that's a huge problem. But the Lord actually wants to bless us way beyond our work, way beyond our labor. And one of the ways this happens is through a multitude of business exchange. Multitude there, much there, certainly means more than one. It means not one business, not one transaction, not one accomplishment, not one employment, not one job. Let me just say this. It's going to be pretty difficult for most people to actually experience supernatural increase through just one stream of income. It's going to be pretty difficult. Yes, the blessing of the Lord is what makes us rich, is what brings increase into our lives, but it is going to be almost impossible for us to experience supernatural increase only through something that is already fixed by somebody. Let's just say, for instance, your job or your employment promises you $12 per hour. That's it. Yeah, maybe every now and then you get a bonus. Maybe every now and then you get some little increase. But you don't really have, remember earlier in our studies a few weeks ago, when we talked about vessels, having vessels that God can pour into. Well, that limited employment is not a vessel that God can pour overabundance into. He can pour something in there, but you can't have an overflow from that. I really like this. So there's got to be streams. There's got to be more than one transaction, investment, job, employment, accomplishment. If you are entirely preoccupied with just one thing and you don't have multiple streams of investment or multiple streams of labor where you actually put things out there that create streams of income for you, it's going to be very difficult. Very difficult. I didn't say impossible, because God can do anything. We don't ever limit God. But it's going to be very difficult for us to experience the kind of increase that the Lord wants and has prepared for us. I want you to quickly go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and let's look at it from verse 1. We're going to read all the way to verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for you do not know what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. Now, all of these verses are extremely powerful, and there's a whole lot that we can learn from them. I just don't have the time, so I don't want us to get sidetracked by that. Let's just stick with our main point here tonight. But notice when it says there in verse 2, give a portion to 7 and also a portion to 8. He said, because you do not know what evil shall be upon the earth. One of the reasons it's a blessing to have multiple transactions, multiple employment, multiple occupation, is sometimes some things just don't produce maybe as much as they used to produce. But that does not stop you from increasing. In fact, sometimes you can lose. Sometimes you can lose the one of the main things that you used to have, or you used to have as your occupation, that can be taken away from you. Now, if that's the only thing you have, you are in big trouble. So what the Word of God is saying is that don't limit yourself and don't limit God to just doing one thing. Give a portion to 7 and give another portion to 8, because you do not know what evil will be upon the earth. Then in verse, I really want you to look at this. In verse 4, it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. That's a huge problem right there. Because if you are constantly looking at the environment, if you are constantly looking at the economy, if you are constantly looking at what people are saying, there are steps that you will not take as part of what the Bible is saying. But look at verse 5. It says, as you do not know what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her, that is with child, a pregnant woman. It says, even so, you do not know the works of God who makes all things. So that means supernatural increase. If we just stick with that, that's one of the applications of that scripture. If we're talking about supernatural increase, you just don't know how God works things to bring increase into your life. The one thing you do know and you should know is, you automatically limit the ability of God to increase you if all you give him is one vessel that is controlled by somebody else. You have automatically limited your ability and limited the ability of God to bring increase into your life. Because even that one vessel that you have presented to him is already determined and is already created and is already capped by somebody who probably is not even a covenant person, who probably is not even someone who has a mind of the kingdom, or who has an understanding of a covenant person, who has a revelation of increase. So if the world caps that vessel for you, well, then you have limited the ability of God to bring increase into your life. That's very important, very powerful. But now, look at that next verse. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, in the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, withhold not your hand. It says, because you do not know one will prosper. You don't know if it's the one you did in the morning or if it's the one you did in the evening that will prosper. It says, either this or that, or whether both of them will be alike good. Now, the prayer and what we trust God for is that everything we put our hands to do into will prosper. That's our prayer. That's our belief. That's our trust in God. But even then, the Bible says, well, in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, don't withhold your hand. What is that saying? It's going back to a multitude of business. So don't just give God one channel through which he can bless you. Now, somebody may say, well, but the place where we are in life and, you know, our status. And yes, that's true. That could be very true. A lot of times, because of where we are in life, it may be difficult to be able to have multiple streams or multiple channels. But even then, seek the Lord about that. Ask the Lord, you know, yes, if at the end of the day you seek the Lord and the Lord say, yeah, that's fine. Where you are and what you are doing, that's all I want you to do. That's fine. Then do that. But still seek the Lord, because sometimes even when we think, oh, where we are in life, we may not really be able to get, sometimes we're wrong. There may actually be opportunities that God can use to bring increase into our lives. But because of the way we think, because our minds are not renewed to the Word of God, and we don't have great expectation of supernatural increase, we have this tendency to think, well, this is all we can have right now. And like I said, sometimes that is actually true. But a lot of times, people are just there, where they are, saying those kind of things because of the limitations that they have put on themselves and on God. Listen to that scripture again, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which one will prosper, either the one you did in the morning or the one you did in the evening, or whether both of them shall be alike good. Every believer who is seeking God for supernatural increase, we should not be looking to man. We should not be hoping that somebody gives us some handout somewhere, some way. No, we should be seeking the Lord over, are there opportunities that I can take advantage of? Are there things that are available to me that I can put my hands to? Yes, I know I have my $15 per hour job, $50 per hour job, $100 per hour job. No matter how much you earn at your primary place of work, it is still limited. It's still capped. But could there be opportunities that the Lord can actually open your eyes to, where you can take advantage of some of those opportunities and you can gain increase? Now, this is going to require, for many of us, a lot of what we talked about earlier on when we discussed instructions for increase. You're going to have to go back there and look at some of those things and then put your hand to it. Put your hand to it. Amen. This is a very powerful scripture. In the morning, sow your seed. Notice it's telling you to use your hand to sow your own seed. Don't wait on what somebody else does for you. And then it says in the evening, do not withhold your hand. That same hand you use in the morning, put that hand back into something in the evening, is what the Bible is saying. It says, because you don't know which of them will prosper, either this or that, or whether both of them will be alike good. So actions of increase require that we are focused on seeking and pursuing channels and avenues of increase in our lives. Somebody say amen to this. Now, under painful effort, so remember, there are two things Ecclesiastes 5:3 told us. Say, through these two things, increase or the dream for supernatural increase to be fulfilled. Number one is multitude of business or much business or abundance of business, which we have already explained. The second one, it says, through painful effort. It says, but not many words. So it shows us the difference between just speaking a lot of words versus painful effort. Painful effort means you are actually doing. It is exerting you. It's either exerting you at the level of your spirit, it's exerting you at the level of your mind or emotions, it's exerting you at the level of your physical body, but whatever the case, there is painful effort. At all of those different levels, whether it's spirit or mind or body, there is exertion. Some people think when you are involved in spiritual work, you just sleep all day and you just talk big all day and you just expect manna to fall from the sky. It is not so. And if that is your idea of serving God or your idea of ministry, you got something different coming. Spiritual exertion is just as real and as tangible as physical exertion. And the Bible says our dreams for increase. Let's just look at whether it's a spiritual vision or vision for your family, or vision for finances, or vision to have more resources in your life, or vision to have to move forward and make progress in your career, or vision to have whatever it is, it's going to come with a lot of painful effort, a lot of exertion. You are going to be stretching. You are going to be stretching. And if you are not stretching, you are not going to increase. Look at everywhere where the Lord commanded his people regarding increase. One of the first things he told them is stretch, stretch. Sometimes the stretch begins from our minds, because many of us are very limited, even in our minds. So sometimes the Lord will say, enlarge the coast of your mind, expand your thinking. Amen. Because everything begins from there. And but even after all of that is done, there's still a lot of exertion, physical exertion, spiritual exertion, sometimes mental exertion, so that the dream for increase is fulfilled. Somebody say amen to this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, look at this scripture with me, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings and chapter 6. Let's read a couple of verses there from verse 1 to 5, I think. 2 Kings, let's move on real quickly. I'm running for time already. 2 Kings chapter 6. What are we talking about tonight? Actions of increase. That is not good enough. It's not sufficient to just have a vision for increase. It's not sufficient to just receive instructions for increase. That there must be actions of increase. Actions in the line of the pursuit of increase that we desire from God. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 1. Said the sons of the prophet said unto Elijah, we know this scripture, we read it before on some of our, on at least a couple of our services. He said unto Elijah, behold, now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Let us go, we pray you, unto the Jordan, and let's take then every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And the servant of God said to them, go ye. So notice, they asked the servant of God, look, this place where we live is too small. We know we can have something bigger. Can we take steps and take action of increase? The man of God said, yeah, go ahead and take those steps and engage those actions. And watch this now. One of them, so amongst these many sons of the prophet, one of them actually had a presence of mind to say, hey, man of God, please, I beg of you, don't just let us go by ourselves. Please, go with us. Can you please go with us? And the man of God said, yes, I will go. Yes, I will go. I love that, because that's a level of exertion. That's a level of action. To actually go over to that servant of God and say, please, just please come with us. And the servant of God said, yes, I will go. Praise God, he did that, because later on, they all reaped the benefit of that servant of God going with them. Hallelujah. And then in verse 4, he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. I like that. They cut down wood. Notice, he didn't say they just spoke to the Jordan. And sometimes, even if you just speak to the Jordan, that's still action. That's still work sometimes. But this time, we're talking about actions of increase. They didn't just speak. They didn't close their eyes and say abracadabra or say shanda, shanda, shanda. No. The Bible says they cut. How did they cut? They used something. They use, the Bible will tell us in just a minute, they had painful effort, exertion. They cut down wood, the word of God says. And in verse 5, I love this. Now, pay attention to verse 5. He said, but as one, notice one. Remember, earlier on in this scripture, he said, one told the servant of God, please go with us. So now this is a separate, this is a different one. I love this kind of collaboration. I love this kind of teamwork. One of them had the mind frame, I had the mindset, and the presence of mind to say, hey, what we are believing God for here is supernatural increase. So we can't get everything by our own work and by our own toil. Let's make sure we have God's presence go with us. Say, we went and talked to the man of God. The man of God said, yes, I'll go. That's pretty much really like symbolic for saying God or the presence of God or the anointing of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit for increase will go with you. But then further down, then it says, another one. So this was another one. Notice he was felling a beam. As one was felling a beam, the axe head, that's what he was using to fell the beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So part of the actions they had taken, beyond which the Bible didn't actually tell us when exactly they did that, but obviously after they asked the servant of God, can we go, can we build? And the servant of God said, yes. Obviously, they have sat down, they have put a plan together. And obviously, one of the things they had done was they had said, you know, we need to borrow. We need to borrow an axe head because we don't have one. And maybe we don't even have the resources to buy one. So let's go borrow an axe head. All right, now, but they didn't take the axe head. It wasn't for them to make a bigger meal, a bigger pot of stew, a bigger mashed potato and gravy. That's not why they borrowed the axe head. They borrowed the axe head to help them fell the wood, the beams. And so as one of them, I love it, it actually says, as one was felling the beam. The word felling in the original, even if you look in the Webster, the word felling, as he was felling the beam, the word felling means to cut down, cut something down, or to knock something down, or to bring something down by painful effort. By painful effort. That is, there was a lot of action to bring down a tree or trees that were standing. And of course, this painful effort was being exerted by many of them, but this one who had this experience was actually one of them who was felling a particular tree. And as he was felling that tree, taking actions of inquiry, something happened where they needed a miracle for restoration. Praise God. We're not going to go into all of that because I think we've already learned all of that principle earlier on. But I want you to notice, while they were felling the beam, that's when this axe head fell down. They were not sitting down or sleeping. They were not praying. They were not fasting. I guess they would probably have done all of that beforehand. Nothing wrong with praying. Nothing wrong with fasting. Nothing wrong with, you know, expecting and speaking the word of God and all of that. But at this time, what they were doing was they were actually doing the work. They were felling the beam. And as this particular man was felling this beam, the Bible says the axe head fell. That's a lot of work. A lot of work. When you fell trees, do you know how that happens? To actually fell trees using axe heads? I mean, I'm sure most of us know how this, I'm sure we know how this takes place. This is no easy, just kind of hang around and do nothing life. No. They were laying the axe. And you know, they had to mark the portions on the tree. Okay, where are we putting this axe? They would have marked it because there's a way you know, like Ecclesiastes says, if a tree falls northward, that's where it says, if it's safer, falls southward, that's, there's a way you cut down that tree so it doesn't fall on your own head and it doesn't fall on the other people who are cutting, felling other trees around you. So there are ways you mark it, and then there are ways you apply the axe head to that tree. A lot of painful effort. All of this, even after they had the promise and the commendation of the man of God for supernatural increase. So what are we talking about? The dream for supernatural increase requires diligence. It requires a lot of painful effort, a lot of hard work. You can't fold your hands all day and then claim prosperity. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Multitude of business and painful effort. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. And then we're going to read Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. One of them, the 10 and 11, Proverbs 6, 10 and 11, they both of them actually say the same thing. But the other one is a little expanded version. So look at the Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. Look at what it says. Yes, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. All right, the Bible is not saying it is wrong to sleep, but there is a time to sleep and there is a time to walk. Amen. In fact, the Bible says the Lord gives his beloved good sleep. So good sleep is one of the blessings that the Lord gives us. But good sleep is not supposed to be 24/7. Good sleep has its place. Amen. And then painful effort has its place. I like the way he puts it. A little folding of the hands, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so will your poverty come as one that travaileth, and your want as an armed man. I like the expanded version. Go there to Proverbs 24, and let's look at verse 30 to 34. That's the expanded version of that particular scripture. Proverbs chapter 24. And let's read from verse 30 to 34. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man who is void of understanding. See, he's void of understanding because he doesn't understand, or she doesn't understand. By just folding your hands and sitting around and just you know, playing with your computer all day and just, and you are not really productive, you are not really producing anything from that. You are void of understanding because poverty is going to creep upon you. He said, lo, it was all grown. I came by the vineyard of the man or woman void of understanding. And lo, this vineyard was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. So things were all over the place. It was a mess. And there are things that could have been done, but this person just sat around folding their hands, talking about, well, you know, I don't have opportunity. There's nothing I can do. The Bible says you lack understanding. And look at what it says then. It says, then I saw and I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received. received instruction. We talked about instruction for increase already. I received instruction. So that is something came to me. Something spoke within me regarding increase or the absence of it. Take a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Amen. So increase, supernatural increase, requires diligence. There is no excuse for lack of diligence. There is no excuse for folding our hands all day and doing nothing. There is no excuse for not being productive. I don't even care if your productivity is not necessarily compensated at the same level of your painful effort or your exertion. I don't care. But there has to be productivity. Because that productivity, if it is not compensated today, it will be compensated sometime in your future. Because through your productivity now, even that one that is not being compensated right now, one day, that thing is going to put you, sorry, for forgive me for saying one day, that's one of the part of how we talk. You know, that thing is going to put you in position, and because you already learned that, because you already trained yourself and you received the discipline to do that, one of these days, that's going to put you in a position to be able to prosper, because somebody is going to be willing to pay for that thing that you did for many years that nobody was going to pay for. Amen. You know, that's the story of David. Nobody paid him when he was in the sheepfold, sheep pen, dragging all those little sheep when they were pregnant, taking care of them, doing all of that. And then when the bear came, the lion came, nobody was there, out there in that wilderness. Nobody paid him for all of that. When he went and put his life on the line to rescue those animals, to save them, to secure them, nobody paid him for that. But guess what? One day came and somebody was willing to pay him to do exactly the same thing he had done for many years in the sheep pen that nobody paid him for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a principle of increase. So increase requires diligence. You can't just fold your hands all day and expect supernatural increase or supernatural prosperity. Get up, go out and create nets. And network for increase. I want you to go with me quickly. Go with me to Luke, the book of Luke chapter 5. The book of Luke chapter 5. Listen to what I said there. Get up, go out, and create nets and networks. Part of the process of getting supernatural increase is creating nets and networks. Sometimes that's work that is not compensated. Sometimes that is work that is done behind the scenes. Sometimes that is work that sometimes seems like a waste. But creating nets and networks is work that is going to pay you off eventually when the Lord launches you and puts you in that position where you need to be for supernatural increase. Look with me at this very interesting story. I want to read something to you right here and quote this man of God that many of us know. Look at Luke chapter 5, and let's read from verse 1 to 7 quickly. It says, it came to pass as the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he entered into one of them, into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. A drought means a big catch. That means big increase, big supernatural increase. Oh, Simon said in verse 5, he answered unto Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Okay, well, good thing, he obeyed the word, he obeyed the instruction. Bad thing, instead of letting down the net, he let down the net, singular. Instead of letting down the net, plural, he let down the net, singular. He could have done much more with the increase God gave him if he had engaged nets rather than one single net. It's a blessing he used a net. He didn't just say, well, let me go try it and use one, let me use the fishing rod. You know, that's what somebody would have done. Say, well, this, I don't know. We've done it all night. Nothing happened. Now he's telling us to throw in nets. I'm not even going to put a net. I remember they already washed all the nets and put them aside. Somebody can say, no, I'm just going to try one fishing rod. Get one fishing rod. Catch one fish. catch one fish and that's it. That would not have been obedience, and you would not have received the blessing of supernatural increase. But he at least lowered one net, even though he could have done better than that. I want you to listen to this. I want to quote this man of God, Bishop T.D. Jakes, where net is concerned. I just want to say something real briefly about net and networking. Living successfully requires a variety of complementary talents and abilities working in harmony to achieve results beyond what you could achieve by sheer talent or hard work alone. As we've discussed, you must build teams and lead them toward the focus objectives you've established. Talking about gaining supernatural increase many times actually requires more than one person. It requires that you develop nets. It says, if you are able to extend beyond your employees, your co-workers, your casual acquaintance, if you do what is right. Following the thoughts and the ideas and instincts that God puts within your heart, you will encounter people from a wide spectrum of professional and personal endeavors. Typically, we call this networking. And if you think about it, nets are woven from strings going in different directions, tied together at points of connectivity. Human nets must work the same way. If you network only with people who do what you do and have what you have, then there is no intersection of variations. You might make a nice mop or wig, but you won't have a net that benefits the world. Networks are built on strands that cross lines and make connections in spite of facing different directions or diverse perspectives. Nets can capture, contain, and convey more than any single string from which they are woven. Fishing with a single line may be fun, but it's always a slow process. More times than not, Jesus used people who handled a net and not a line. There's a benefit in working with a net that a single line can never touch. The potential to increase effectiveness by diverse associations. I love that. I don't know how much of that you were able to get, but you may have to go listen to that message all over so you can catch all of that. But growing, getting up, and creating nets and networks for increase is a huge task that everyone that is serious about increase must be engaged in. Sometimes that is part of the preliminary work we do before the Lord actually launches us into places where we can get increase. Developing and fostering relationships, associations, partnerships that can actually help us arrive at our destination. And many times that requires working in partnership or requires connecting with people that may not necessarily be going in the same direction that we're going. Remember those nets, the way he describes it. You have ones, some nets are going south, the other ones are going north, the other ones are going east, the other ones are going west. When you bring all of them together and cross them at an intersection, that's why they become effective. And many times in life, that's what God requires us to do to be able to enter into increase. That is sometimes part of the action of increase that we need to take so that the increase that God has ordained for us can come to pass. I want you to look at this next verse here in verse 5, what Peter said. Peter said, answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Now, God wants to ensure that this is not your experience. God doesn't want you toiling without blessing. You ought to write that down. God doesn't want you toiling without blessing. You ought to write that down. Write that down. Get it etched in your spirit. God doesn't want you toiling without blessing. It's so good that I'm going to put it down in my own note as well. Because that came right from heaven. God doesn't want you toiling without blessing. Peter said, we have toiled all night. There are a lot of Christians who just toil all night. They work a lot. The only increase that comes into their lives really are not necessarily blessing. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and does not add any sorrow with it. The only increase that comes into their lives are commensurate with the amount of toiling that they put in. And a lot of times they can't even really see that increase. That's not what God wants for you. God doesn't want you toiling without blessing. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich. The blessing of the Lord will supersede the toiling, the work that you put in. So God wants to ensure that what Peter experienced is not what you experience. When he said, we have toiled all night. That is why God gives us instructions. Notice, one word from God can change your life, can change your experience. Just one word from Jesus to Peter. Say, hey, cast your net into the deep. Save them from a lifetime, an all night toiling without nothing. Amen. This is why the Lord gives us instructions. But based on the instructions he gives us, then we need to put our net in. Can you imagine how much Peter thought he was already blessed? Just by, he caught so much, their net started breaking. He called for his friends. Thank God he was there with some of his friends so they could help him salvage some of the fish that he caught. But can you imagine what Peter could have had if he had multiple nets, not just one, on this night? That's what God wants for you. God doesn't want you toiling without blessing. God wants to give you much more. He wants to give you an abundance. Abundant measure. That's why he said it will be, men will give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. That's how God wants to bless you. Some people think God is afraid of waste. They say, oh, but that's waste. He said, I will anoint your head, your cup will run over. That's waste. No, God is not afraid of waste. God even told them in the Old Testament, he said, when you harvest your field, I want you to leave some for the poor. Leave some of the crops, leave some of the harvest, leave them there. Some people say, oh, but that may waste, that may rot. Yeah, God is not afraid of waste. Sometimes excessiveness is part of how God shows his godliness. As part of how God shows and displays his abundance, God is not afraid of waste. Yes, of course, certainly. We don't want to be wasting resources. We don't want to be wasting valuable things that God has given us when those things can benefit other people. When there are people who lack and they don't have those things, and we can easily share those quote-unquote waste with them. But that still doesn't mean that God doesn't want to anoint your head with oil to overflowing. The one that fell on the ground. Somebody says waste. No, it's not waste. It just shows. It shows the abundant nature of God. It shows El Shaddai. That's what it shows. And that's what God wants to do for you. I got to wrap this up and close tonight. That's what God wants to do for you. God doesn't just want you toiling. We've talked a lot tonight about toiling, work, painful effort, multitude of business, accomplishment, transaction. God doesn't just want you toiling. God wants to bring an abundance into your life. He wants to bless you way beyond whatever toil, way beyond whatever painful effort you put into your work. It's a curse. It is a curse to toil and to catch nothing. That's not the will of God for you as a child of God. It's a curse to toil all night and to catch nothing. It is a blessing to toil all night, if that's what your job is, and to receive an abundant harvest like Simon Peter received on this night. Remember, the Bible says you are blessed for doing. James 1:25. Let's close out there. James chapter 1, verse 25. Let's close right there. You are blessed for doing. Don't expect the same measure of increase compared to the measure of task or the measure of painful effort that you put in. The more your effort, the more your toil, the more your labor, the more you should expect an abundant increase. An abundant increase. And that's why you have to have those multitude of those streams. That's why you have to have multitude of vessels. Remember what that servant of God said to that widow. He says, go and borrow vessels of your neighbor. He says, borrow many, not a few. Don't borrow a few. Don't borrow one. Borrow one, you have already capped how much God can bless you. A multitude of tasks, a multitude of business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope somebody is receiving some revelation tonight. I hope somebody's receiving some pep in their steps. I hope somebody's receiving instruction. I hope somebody's eyes are being opened tonight. James 1:25 says, look, whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what he does. So the plan of God is that the doer of the work be blessed in what he does. The doer of the work must be blessed in what he does. The doer of the work must not catch nothing. The doer of the work must not toil all night and catch nothing and go back home without food for his family. That's not the will of God for you. The will of God is abundant. He wants to bless you with nyafu nyafu. Nyafu nyafu. Hallelujah. bless you with nyafu nyafu. God prospering you and your family. I see him blessing everything that you put your hand to in Jesus' mighty name.